America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Here's how we say it on this show. You can always be a part of it by calling in at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-8253. If you want to heave in your 2 cents, that's what you do. That's how you ring in. Or the old-fashioned snail mail way, americatonight.net. All right, so the use of words. You know, it's all in the way you present it. That's the thing with debates. It is about your words in a debate and how you can use them to squash your opponent and to uplift yourself. We saw in the first one, the first presidential debate, that's exactly what happened with Mitt Romney, and it's the bounce that just won't quit because he keeps getting a bounce from the poor performance of Barack Obama, who admitted that he had a bad night, but is saying that the debate changes the fundamentals of the race. He did an interview with Diane Sawyer from ABC and talked specifically about bouncing in the wrong direction, that it just was a bad night for him. It looked like he didn't want to be there is what it looked like. It was just lackluster is the word that most people are using, and I think I'll adopt the same one. That's what it seemed like. And Romney had a great night. Obama said he plans to do way more in the next debate to convey how much is at stake and how deeply he cares about it. He also said you'll see that from Joe Biden, and he says Joe needs to be Joe. If he is, he'll do a great job in the debate. So he does an interview when it's a day when Mitt Romney has erased almost all of Barack Obama's advantage in the national head-to-head matchup polls. A bunch of the battleground states still show that Obama has a little tiny bit of an edge, but we're talking about like maybe a point. Romney has really, really closed the gap. Closed the gap. And the next time around when they meet, the discussion won't be on the failed economy, but on what's happened in Libya and the failure to protect the ambassador and the others, especially when they were asking for security and saying that Al-Qaeda had a target painted on the back of Ambassador Stevens, but they were denied the requests for more security, saying that things were getting worse in Libya. And that was part of the discussion, the power play there by the White House. That was part of the discussion on the Hill in a hearing about what happened at the consulate. Most Americans, when they're asked about the Libya attack, saying they don't approve of the way it was handled, and that's because there were too many smoke and mirrors that started to appear, and it wasn't the straight up here's what's happening. That it troubles people that they don't know what the timeline was on the consulate. To me, the more troubling thing is not so much even the timeline or the discombobulation over what happened. Oh, no, it was definitely because of that film. Or no, we take it back. It was because it was the anniversary of 9/11. It's not about that. It's about the fact that you have the ambassador who asked several times for more security, saying that it was getting scarier and scarier and that they didn't have enough security and nothing happened. So why didn't they get the security that they needed? I mean, there's your big question. The assault on that diplomatic center, the heart and soul of Libya, that took out an ambassador and three other Americans hasn't been explained correctly. And once the horse left the barn, there was no way to put the horse back in the barn. Let's just say that, right? So the thing that the Obama folks want to do is put that in their rearview mirror. But it's tough when you are dealing with the human element, like you've got the family members of at least one of the people killed saying that they're upset. The mother, one of the Libya victims' mother, saying you just didn't do your job, and if you did, my son wouldn't be dead. Well, things like that aren't going to help 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue put the Livia episode behind them. And the mother was actually on Anderson Cooper's show and talked about her son, Sean Smith, who was an information manager at the consulate, who hasn't hardly been mentioned. And he was a guy who had been in the Foreign Service for 10 years. He served in Iraq. He served in South Africa, Canada, a whole bunch of other places. He was an Air Force vet with a wife, a son, and a daughter. So Patricia Smith said, you know, this was my only son. He went into the Air Force at 17, and she was frustrated and exasperated and, at the end, furious that she never heard anything from the Obama administration about her son's death, since she was told at a reception after a memorial service for the victims of the Benghazi attacks, you know, that was it. And she said the White House promised they would keep her informed on her son's death and what happened and that kind of stuff, and of course they didn't. Leon Panetta even went so far to say, we're going to get to the bottom of this. You know, went, approached her and said, we're going to get to the bottom of what happened here. And Susan Rice, the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., also personally said that. And then, of course, they dropped the ball. It's sort of, I hate to say this, but that's memorial talk. They went up, said it, and then that was it. They haven't, she hasn't heard anything from them since then. So she went on TV when the CNN folks twisted her into doing it, and she said that, you know, that she told Obama that the attack was his fault, that you didn't do a good job, I lost my son, and here's the reason why, because they were asking for more security, they didn't get it, but that was a fact that was left out of everything. And now it's been something that's been discussed enough that it's a question that's asked in the polls that may be discussed next Tuesday in the next presidential debate. But there's another debate before that, and that is the Joe Biden VP debate with Congressman Paul Ryan. And I think the most interesting thing about this debate is I don't think 67 million people will watch it, but there may be enough people interested in it that there could be a kick either for Obama or for Ryan if Joe Biden had a good performance. Maybe it helps the president, although I wouldn't count on that. I don't think he'll lay down, but at almost 70 versus Paul Ryan, who is the gunslinger young conservative, I think that he's gonna be the dragon slayer when he gets on the stage, and he's gonna try to fill in the gaps. And it's gonna be tough because Biden will be probably a little bit more on the defensive, and there is such a high level of attention with the presidential debate that some of that will trickle down to the VP debate. And, 39% of registered voters have a positive opinion of Joe Biden compared to 51% who have a negative opinion. For what it's worth, the Pew Research people did that. Ryan is viewed favorably by 44% and unfavorably by 40%. So that's all happening at Center College in Danville, Kentucky on Thursday. Stay with us. Affirmative action on trial, so to speak, or constitutionally anyway, as the Supreme Court takes a look. We're talking about that on the flip side.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hey, everybody. All those nooks and crannies. Glad to be back on American soil. You can check out my pictures from Ireland at americatonight.net. Here's something that we've been talking about that it was coming down the pike. The Supreme Court's review of Abigail Fisher versus the University of Texas. And what happens, our friends at Project 21 have wrote an amicus brief that want to end any practice that would force a school to admit anyone other than the best academic candidate. So we're talking about, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court mulling over, deciding the constitutionality of race quotas. And we have talked about this a lot on America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show Project 21's John Meredith. He's the son of a civil rights icon, James Meredith, and he's speaking out against this. He's speaking out against race preferences. And, you think of his father, who was very proud at Ole Miss back in the 60s because he academically earned his spot. John, thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
So when, you know, as this, we go through this, and I just gave kind of a brief overview, your thoughts as to why it's so important to go on the merits of the best academic candidate and stop this other practice of the race quotas?
I just don't think it helps anybody. I think evidence is abundant that people prosper best anywhere, but particularly in the United States of America, but when they're allowed to compete on the even playing field. Obviously, we want that even playing field, but blacks, whites, everyone is going to have to compete and earn what they get based on their merits. And the entitlement program mentality of thinking that, you know, there should be an exception for you because of anything other than the fact that you compete just is no longer acceptable for this country.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, you have to be, I'm sure, very proud of what your father accomplished. And I just said it where, you know, he was so integral into what happened at Ole Miss, but he earned his spot, didn't he? And that's what he taught you, I bet.
Absolutely. You know, actually, he was admitted. He competed. He was admitted. And what happened was Ole Miss actually tried to roll back his admission when they found out that he was black. So obviously it's slightly different than what's happened in this particular case. But, yes, my father had competed. He was academically eligible. And as my father likes to put it, he was not only the first black admitted, but he graduated. And part of the reason for his ability to graduate was that he was academically eligible to compete with the other students that made up the student body at the University of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Well, the University of Mississippi.
Yeah. Do you think what happens here is we go back to I'm thinking out loud and things that we talk about on this show. When do we get to the point where we have what Dr. Martin Luther King called the colorblind vision? That was ultimately what he spoke so passionately about. How do we get there if we continue to have things like the race quotas?
Well, you're absolutely stealing my thunder because you're absolutely right. We don't get there as long as there are racial quotas. Getting to that colorblind society, I believe, strongly believe, is going to require everyone competing on that level playing field. As long as there is preference given, we're not going to achieve that colorblind society that MLK gave his life for.
What's your gut feeling on this? And, of course, we don't have tea leaves, but what do you think happens here at the Supreme Court?
Well, you know, it's an interesting case. I think it's not the perfect case for this. Had she been part of that 10% that should have gotten automatic admission, I think it would be a better fit. But, you know, it's hard to say. I like to think that the court will put an end to it, or certainly do what it can to certainly speed up that process. Personally, I'm hoping that they rule to get rid of it, but you just never know what the courts are going to do in this country.
Yeah, boy, that's true. John Meredith, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let me recap that for you, too, a little bit. Abigail Fisher, who we were just talking about, was 22 years old, and she was denied, or she's 22 now, but she was denied admission. She was among hundreds of people that were there to hear the arguments, hundreds of spectators at the arguments, anyway. When we're talking about this, is huge. This is one of the most watched things that's happening because this is attention on the constitutionality of racial preference in admission decisions by public universities, for goodness sake. And yeah, I started to think back on this, and I went back and looked at some notes I had. You had Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, of course, who's retired. She wrote the majority opinion back in 2003 in the case that upheld the use of race in college admissions. And you've got Sam Alito, who is the one who stepped into O'Connor's, was O'Connor's successor, who has voted against racial preferences since he jumped into the court in 2006. So it looks like he'll probably go the way of Fisher. When I was asking him ultimately, what do you think is going to happen here? What's going to happen with the justices? And like I said, we don't have the tea leaves to know exactly, or we probably wouldn't be doing talk shows, right, if we knew the answers to all the questions. But the deciding guy is going to be Justice Kennedy. I think his vote will be decisive, and he's pretty skeptical about Texas's defense of the program because he had one line where he said at one point, what you're saying is what counts is race above all. So affirmative action is at this university, at the university level, is that a practice of illegal discrimination by considering race at all? And this case is probably one of the more watched in this term right now because of, as I said, the constitutionality that is using racial preferences in admissions. And this isn't just going to affect Texas. I mean, this is across the board as to whether or not that this should be part of it or not. And I threw in my two cents. I don't think that should be part of the equation. At one time, just if we were talking about affirmative action across the board, there was absolutely a place for it. In the case of the university, there is no question it is discrimination. Why is race considered? Shouldn't it be admissions where you don't? It's just blind to race? Otherwise, it's unfair if you lay out the piles and that's what you're going by. It's not fair, I think, to consider students that way, that it should be based on, if it's an academic curve, it should be based on that, especially see the University of Texas, as in so many other schools that have gotten bigger, badder reputations. It's a lot tougher to get into that school now than it had been maybe in past days. So a lot of people are getting junked out because there's only so many slots. And I think that John Roberts, Scalia, Alito, all have objections to the affirmative action plans. Because, you know, when do you determine where you are on a campus, you know, the whole diversity, as Roberts said, when do you figure out where the critical mass is? How do you know that? How do you know, what's that number? What's that elusive number? At that this is the cutoff point. This is, you know, this is what we're going to do here. And this is a 9-year-old decision, I think, that needs to be thrown out. It was a bad decision to begin with. And people who, like Fisher, who want to be there, who have the grades, who have worked hard to get there, knowing this is where I want to be, they don't get there. They're thrown to the side. They're gutted because of a policy that makes no sense for public universities. All right, coming up on our next go-around, we're going to talk about the Fall Classic. Yeah, we're getting closer to the actual World Series. Eventually, we'll get there anyway. Some excitement for Oakland, who did, I'll just give you a hint, the unthinkable. I know there's some Yankee lovers out there. A thrilling game for the Yankees and the O's. San Francisco and Cincinnati, what's the latest in their series? St. Louis and the Nationals, what's the latest in their series? We're going to be talking about it next here on ATN.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you're not prepared, get preparedexpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in America. Get preparedexpo.com. Coming November 3rd and 4th at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Get preparedexpo.com. This year, a whopping 175 seminars and exhibits with instructors GCN's Vincent Finelli from USA Prepares, plus the Freeze Dry Guy, Jeff Olson, Dr. Norman Shealy, Matt Stein, Dr. Joel Wallach, Larry Pratt, John Moore,
Lisa Bedford,
Marjorie Wildcraft,
and 50 more.
GetPreparedExpo.com. November 3rd and 4th.
Download coupon flyers
and $8 discount coupons at GetPreparedExpo.com.
The biggest and best preparedness expo in America. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com.
Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds,
Springfield, Missouri.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Green Sally up, a green Sally down, left on Scotch out of Taylor's crown. Green Sally up, a green Sally down, left on
Scotch
out of
Taylor's
crown.
Green Sally up, a green Sally down. Ringing a long one into left field. This is trouble. It might leave the park. It is a three-run home run for the Cardinal rookie shortstop, Pete Cosma. And the Cardinals are on top 4-0. Pete Cosma touches them all. Wow.
One strike on Blanco, swinging away on the first pitch, and here's another bomb into deep right center field, and the Giants have taken a 3-1 lead. Right now, this is the worst-case scenario surrounding Mike Leake. He has given up 2 home runs in as many innings, and the Giants have taken a 3-1 lead here in the second inning. Wow.
A-Rod is 3-for-18, a lifetime against Johnson. Struck out against him in the game 2, 0-for-3. 2 strikeouts tonight, 1-for-12, 7 strikeouts in the series. 1-0 to Ibanez. A swing and a belt. The pitch, a swing and a fly ball, way back, he has won it for the New York Yankees. Raul Ibanez, who tied into the ninth with a home run, hammers the first pitch of the 12th, deep into the bleachers and right, and the Yankees win it, 3-2.
Playing a rocket, pulling the right center field, they can stop for a hit. This game is tied. Throw the second down and tie. The A's have tied it in the ninth. Swinging a line drive, baseman into right. Here comes the front and third. It's followed by Garcia. The run will score. And the A's have won game 4. And there will be a game 5. The A's ain't dead yet. They pile on at first base. All over Coco Crisp.
My friends, they score 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth, stunning the Tigers 4-3, a decisive fifth game. I love it in the American League Division Series. Go A's! They are my adopted team. They rock. And the nation familiar with the A's, due to the success of a little money called, a little movie called Moneyball. And the struggles that the A's have had, this could be their time. Who knows? At least they're getting some good mojo. The Yankees, you either love them or you hate the Yankees, but there was high drama with the Yankees, too. I just went back and re-racked that since I didn't see that game live. And one of my favorite former Phillies was the hero, Raul Ibanez, with the he was the guy who propels them into that win. Again, he is the man with the walk-off win in 12. It took 12 over the A's in Game 3. You know, they somehow they get these players, and it works out. And so Raul Ibanez was the man with a couple of big swings that make a difference. And it was a, you know, a stunner, the 3-2 in 12 for a 2-1 lead in their best of five series. So, you know, the people that are getting the big bucks like A-Rod, once again, slumping. It's the playoffs, so he must be slumping. So much for being a power hitter. But, you know, Ibanez is the guy that, that they picked up that has really helped him out in a tight spot. So this game was in New York, and the Yankee fans went absolutely bonkers in the end. Matt, you were watching a lot of baseball today, and it's a couple of exciting games for sure.
Yeah, the early games not so much, but the late games tonight were definitely extremely entertaining. I mean, I hate the Yankees, so that Orioles game didn't go so well for me, and it was kind of an incredible just watching Ibanez. Like, first of all, the move by Girardi to pinch hit for A-Rod, that's, I mean...
Yeah, A-Rod.
You got to have a lot of cojones to even pull the move off like that. And then he comes through with a home run in the ninth to tie it, and then a home run in the 12th to win it. Then you have the Athletics, who... You know, they're down 3-1.
Yeah.
Facing Valverde, the Tigers' closer. They come back and win it with 3 runs in the ninth inning. So, great games, and it sets up for an exciting Thursday. There's a sports Thursday happening tomorrow. You got 4 MLB playoff games. All of them are elimination games. And you also have a little NFL football game, too, that is not going to get quite the headlines it probably would have as of 2 days ago.
Yeah, not with those Game 5s that you're talking about. And, you know, it's so cool. San Francisco, they had an offensive juggernaut. So they've got a Game 5 that's going to happen there against the Reds. And, you know, it's exciting. It's, you know, St. Louis, 2-1 lead over the Nationals. And, you know, as I said, and as Matt described even better, the historic home runs for the Yankees. He comes through in the clutch, and the excitement of the Oakland A's doing the improbable, it seems, to the Tigers. So big, big things happen in Major League Baseball.
And the Yankees team is just kind of ridiculous, because if you look at their team, it probably looks identical to somebody's 2004 fantasy baseball squad. You got Raul Ibanez, Ichiro, Eric Chavez, A-Rod, Jeter, Cano, like Swisher. Like, it's like they have this aging lineup of people from the early millennium, and it was just, I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous, and I'm interested to see what happens with A-Rod if he possibly gets benched. I don't know if he would, but... I don't know. It's kind of hard to keep throwing him out there with the way he's hitting.
Oh, he's terrible. That's his postseason blues.
And they've got 5 more years and $114 million left on that contract.
I know. That's A-Rod. I saw it when he was stuck with the Texas Rangers and how they laughed at what they signed him to, the, you know, $240, thinking, oh, that's no big deal. Someone else will surpass. And, of course, nobody ever did. There's just absolutely no way that he was worth that kind of money to begin with, and Matt's right. They're going to be stuck with that wrapped around their necks now for the rest of that contract. It's just, you know, crazy. The Nail the Score deal, for all of you listening, remember, we've got Nail the Score coming up in our next hour. So you can participate in Nail the Score. It should be a lot of fun. We got that Thursday night game, Pittsburgh and Tennessee. But as Matt said, not going to get the headlines because of all the Major League Baseball action. How about from the cycling world, Lance Armstrong, kick 'em when you're up, kick 'em when you're down. Lance Armstrong's former teammates told investigators from the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency about one of the techniques that's used to beat the drug testing regimen. And, of course, over the years there have been a lot of ways to do that, and so many cyclists have done it. But blood transfusions, injections, that's something that's always been talked about, backdating prescriptions and tip-offs to coming tests. Some of the things that happen to make it possible to Jimmy rig the tests, if you will. Tyler Hamilton said we hid. You know, we just hid. That's a good thing. Look, we got a test coming up. Just hide. So the hunt for Armstrong sort of still hasn't ended, even though Armstrong's called off his fight. He's, you know, forget it. But there was a They did a 200-page deal in the end of a 200-page decision that was backed up by hundreds of pages of documents. That's the whole Armstrong report. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency released their findings on Lance Armstrong on Wednesday. But the biggest technique of all the things that was discussed was just ditching, just hiding. And they talked about Armstrong, who of course has denied doping for a very long time, and his lawyers called the USADA's investigation just a witch hunt, but he stopped contesting the allegations, and he faces being stripped of his titles, so he's stopped fighting, and he's just saying, forget it. But they say the evidence of Armstrong's doping is absolutely overwhelming, and that's a big chunk of that entire, of course, most of that report is all of that, all of the what the teammates said, all that stuff is in there, what they did to beat the tests and how they were able, you know, what they were able to do. They even talk about 1998 in a World Cycling Championship, and they talked about a UCI tester showing up unannounced and started setting up at a bed and breakfast where Armstrong's team was staying, and a team doctor went outside to their car, got a bottle of saline, smuggled it past the tester and into Armstrong's bedroom. Even a teammate, Jonathan Vaughters, told the investigators in this report, this giant report, that they had a good laugh about it, and how he'd been able to smuggle in saline and give it to Lance right under the inspector's nose of him being there. Can you imagine? So people are still weighing in on Armstrong, but he's not fighting it. He's done. I say, why, if they didn't have any hard, cold facts, why didn't they, why go after him now? It's sort of one of those who cares things. I think they have an axe to grind. And when you look at Livestrong and the amount of money, boy, that Lance Armstrong has made in the whole strides for cancer, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find too many people that just want to crucify this guy, honestly. And maybe it's partially, too, because it's the time away from the sport, probably. Hey, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can always do that at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Also, you can sign up for Twitter and Facebook, same place, just by going to the website. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready.
Some are not.
MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
One of those forever hold your peace or jam up the phone lines, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Heavy, heavy, heavy focus heading into next week's debate on what we're doing as far as on other soil. Foreign affairs, basically. The Libya attacks, I'm certain, will come up. Obama is getting clobbered with low marks about what happened and what did the White House say on that attack in Libya. And one of the mothers of a guy that was killed, Sean Smith, guy that Smith, who was killed in the consulate attack, his mother came out and said, "I blame Obama." Is like the way they handled this. They kept telling me they were going to keep me informed of what's going on, and I don't know anything more. I wasn't informed of anything. So naturally, there's an investigation, and there's Congressman Daryl Issa being dogged and saying he's going to pursue this to the ends of the earth to find out what happened. What happened at the consulate? Why was it so unprotected? Was there an inside deal? Whatever that is. And you have Congressman Cummings and Chavez, who had their own thoughts at the Benghazi hearing on what needs to happen.
Mr. Chairman, I ask you to join me in calling on our leaders in the House to immediately consider a supplemental funding bill to restore funding for embassy security that was cut by the House over the past 2 years.
The State Department went back and reclassified it as more dangerous. The danger pay, therefore, increased. They didn't tell you that we didn't have resources, hey, that Congress just cut your budget. They gave you an increase because the danger was rising, correct?
That's correct. We received the danger
Thank
pay
you.
Increase.
Okay, so they got a danger pay increase, but they didn't get the security they needed, and that's part of the problem. And cutting out security, well, they're exposed, but were they also exposed because somebody let them in the back door, so to speak? And there's lots of questions that are still surrounding that. It's terrible when Americans are killed in this fashion, of course. Knowing the dangers, they certainly did, but because they knew the dangers, because they had intel, they were begging for security, and they didn't get it. So you just leave them dangling out there like a handful of dolls. Oh, let's hope that they're okay. And so I think the real question is, I think the bigger question is downplaying what happened there and downplaying what happened there is not even so much, well, geez, wasn't that because of September 11th? Or we initially thought it was because of that Prophet Muhammad little flick that made fun of Prophet Muhammad. Forget all that for a second. Why were they left that way? Why were they exposed that way? Just ignoring the facts that the ambassador's telling you. You have an ambassador there for a reason. If he says, listen, heightened awareness, they're about to kill me, you have to do something. He didn't just do it 2 seconds before it happened. He was doing it weeks, supposedly, before it happened. And they didn't pay attention. Ah, we just don't have the money for that. When you hear about the fiscal cliff, we don't have, we can't help you. We can't do anything about it, and that's part of what happened here. So there's, I mean, come on, frustration certainly on the Hill, because you've got these ex-Libya security officers who sounded off on what was going on there, too, and that didn't help any. So this is the reason why we have hearings. Instead of some of the dog and pony shows that they have, at least the testimony here was over something horrible that shouldn't have happened and had a deal with security and the State Department, because there's been conflicting accounts almost from the get-go as to what led to the consulate attack. And he had massive criticism from former security people that were talking about why were they exposed this way. In fact, the two security people said that they were butting heads in trying to tell people at the State Department, look, we need more security here. There's not. This is a tense, volatile situation that has really exploded, and we need to have more coverage. And they didn't get the coverage. And then what happens? It was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, unfortunately. They didn't have the coverage. It exposed the ambassador and it exposed the other people that were also in the consulate. There were many other injuries and things that happened there. And with the contradicting stories on the attacks, that certainly didn't happen any, that didn't help any. And then you've got a heated inquiry, and of course it's going to be heated when you have, you know, you had Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Wood, who said we were fighting a losing battle. We couldn't even keep what we had. So we couldn't even keep the security we had. What do you want from us? And, you know, you got Taliban on the inside of the building. And on the inside of the building. So why is this? How is this that we, why do we have a consulate there if we can't protect who's inside reasonably? They couldn't do it reasonably. So the security question was only part of what they were looking into on Wednesday. But I think it's a big part of what happened there. It's surprising maybe that something hadn't happened before, and I don't think he can do enough for the survivors' for the families. There were survivors there, but the victims, they can't do enough to tell them the specifics. You know, in any situation when you lose a child, I don't care what age they are, yes, you know it's dangerous what they're doing, but you want to know what happened. You want to acknowledge what happened. So Daryl Issa is being pretty dogged in this one because he's, of course, the chairman of the Oversight Committee. And he said that it looked like the department was beginning the process of coming clean on the intelligence stuff and the information and when they knew things and why they were exposed, and did this have to be this way? And the answer is, of course, it didn't have to be that way. They just had to point the resources in the right direction. But being told, well, we have to cut certain things, that doesn't help. And it doesn't, when you talk about operations like that and you're talking about reducing security, I mean, really, you got to be kidding. In fact, there were two specific notes that were sent to the State Department, or they would call them cables. They were sent in March of this past year and July, requesting additional diplomatic security agents for Benghazi. No responses. None. Charlene Lamb, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Programs, they say, wanted to keep the number of security personnel in Benghazi low because Lamb thought that the Benghazi facilities didn't need security special agents because they had a safe haven to fall back to in an emergency. So it seems as though this was easy pickings on the 11th to grab this consulate. I mean, how could you get to safety? You couldn't. The answer was everything unfolded so quickly. But with two cables, one in the spring, one in the summer, no action, yeah, I'm going to say that you can easily pick apart the State Department for not doing anything here. I mean, what good is having a facility in Benghazi if you leave it exposed that way? And the answer is, of course, it's no good to have Americans in that situation and not be able to protect them. And doesn't instill, I would think, any confidence with the Libyan people either, by the way. We're going to station people, especially diplomatic resources, in these hellish spots. You got to be able to cover their backs. You keep, why do that? Why would you even have any personnel there of the kind that they did in a consulate if there wasn't enough people to go around? Just boggles the mind. Seems pretty obvious. You can make cuts. You cannot make them in a place like Benghazi, especially when they're pleading for help.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.